always a sad state of affairs when you talk to the masses all the time. And, you know, this podcast theme is going to be repetitive for my daughter. She's going to be like, Dad is always fucking complaining about relationships. Dad is always just kind of just talking about bullshit. Dad is talking about life and relationships. And it's amazing because a lot of people I talk to, that's what it always pertains to. I just got off the phone with somebody trying to clean out the toxicity in their life. They just kind of disconnected from somebody. And, you know, I was playing therapist. That person doesn't bother me, so that's fine. I was talking to him for a bit. And it's just amazing how it doesn't matter if you're older, younger. And it seems once you get into adulthood stage, there is a pressure that we all follow, like a channel that we kind of follow, meaning that, you know, we go to school after school, we find a job, then once you kind of find what you're going to settle in along the way, hopefully you meet somebody, and then once you figure out that you're going to be the partners, you're going to create families together, then you have kids, and then you kind of build your careers. You kind of have some interlapping period where you are kind of still missing, from a man's perspective anyway, you're kind of missing your single life a little bit, so you try to balance the individualism. You know, that's even a word, but what happens a lot of times in relationships, I feel that the guy loses a lot of his individualism. I heard somebody on a podcast talking about how the construct of marriage and along those lines, and proposing to a woman and the ceremony, that's everything catering to a woman, because us guys, we don't really look for that. I'm not saying that there isn't a guy once in a while that kind of wants to make a celebration of it. I think people love. I mean, all of us love it. I think it's just how we go about attaining that is different, right? And it's always fascinating to me because people always levitate to that topic with me. They want to talk to me about life, about cleansing themselves and toxicity. And I guess the only thing I could think of is that they see where I'm at, the way I react to people, the way I am with them and so forth. And, you know, they like it. They're like, you know, man, it seems like you got your shit together. Even though I live in this little apartment, living life simply, I have no agenda. My friend told me that. He said, you know, Menno, you just don't have an agenda. You just kind of live life and you're good to others and you're not trying to, you know, you don't have any ulterior motives. And it's true. I don't. You know, when it comes to people, I like to take them at face value. And at this stage, I've mastered just equaling energy, matching energy. So if whatever you give me, I'll give you back. If you text me, I'll text you back. If you call me, I'll call you back. If you want to meet up with me, I'll meet you back. But I'm not. The level of expectations I have for people is zero. And me not being responsible for someone's happiness, well-being, in addition to not placing those expectations, allows me to be in a great mental state. And then it allows me to help people along the way too, you know, that are still trying to figure themselves out. And this person was older and they're trying to, you know, just how they're trying to clean up the toxicity. They kind of disconnected with a guy and they're just trying to, just all these different things, right? They just talk with family. Hey, you know, it's good for them. I feel them. I think it's great. But you go from that phone call to another phone call, and it's just the constant theme of the unhappiness that people are living, masquerading around. Not necessarily that they're not happy with their life per se. You know, they're probably happy with being around the kids and having those family events. But the one common theme that I find is that they're not allowed to be an individual. They're not allowed to be themselves. And I think that's where you have a lot of that suppressed unhappiness at. Because when people get in a relationship, it's about catering to the other person. And then it's a battle of ideologies. And then you kind of have to stake your ground on certain things. You know, in other ways, you have to give in because you know the ramifications of it. It's like, you know, when I decided to divorce, I knew in my head if I was going to pull the trigger, it was going to be early in my daughter's age. It wasn't going to be something where she was 15 and then mom and dad decided to divorce. I wasn't going to do that. It was either going to be in the beginning where the memories weren't fond of mom and dad living together, or I was just going to stick it out to the very end. And when I knew that it got really ugly there for me, I said, you know what, 3 years old, this is the time to pull out. I know it's going to hurt her. I know it's going to bother her, but I think she'll be able to get over it much better than if she was to say 13, 14 years old. It's a weird thing, you know, and I know I talk to friends and people that I know that are in the trenches, meaning their kids are at that stage where they can't pull the trigger. They can't, be able to get out of those situations. And I understand that. And it's not, again, it's not that they're miserable and unhappy. It's just more that they're not able to be themselves. And I think that's always the common theme I find, you know, with just guys in marriage, is that they just have to give in to the woman. And I'm not, it was interesting because I saw an article where a teacher put herself out there. I guess the trend is, you know, teachers are making ends meet. And shout out to my friends and people involved in the educational system. I know they work their asses out, and they're emotionally drained day in and day out with dealing with those kids from dysfunctional backgrounds and having to help them, guide them, and God forbid, man, just dealing with that shit every day. But there was a teacher, an article of a teacher that she was saying that she was moonlighting as, and I've talked about this before because these articles always come up on my timeline, but it's another article where a lady was saying that, hey, you know what, I am, instead of working at Red Lobster or a restaurant, you know, waiting tables on the side, trying to make some extra cash, I just go on Sugar Daddy website and I go on dates, and for 3 hours I have steak and lobster and I get paid $500. Mm-hmm. you know, and with that said, I said, okay, you know, I said, you know, one thing, ladies, that we guys know, we pay for it anyways. You know, heck, I'm still paying for it. we pay for it anyway. I mean, guys just pay the price when they're in the relationship. They have to pay for everything. And I was telling that to my buddy. You know, I was telling him, you know, the one thing about where I'm at now is that I just have ultimate freedom. It's not that I have more money. It's not like I have a plethora of cash. And I think that's the impression I give to my ex and maybe other people because I'm traveling and doing things. No, it's not that. It's that when you don't have a partner, you have to cater to, bring them flowers for Valentine's or do something romantic, or having to, you know, make plans for anniversaries and having to do family trips and having to do birthdays and having to do Mother's Day and having, you know, all these different events that you just can't do. Hey, happy Mother's Day, hug and a kiss, and I'm off about my day. Like, you have to always have a grand event, the constant affirmation of your love, and it has to come with dollars. It has to come with how you spend it. And for a guy, I mean, that's the way I see it anyway. And I talk to other friends, you know, that get it. I mean, they totally get it, legit. And they were like, you know, Menno, if you pull the trigger when you had to, and you kind of were smart about it, because you did it when she was young, you know, because now at this stage, it's like, you know, I'm seeing somebody else going through that. Kids are teenagers, and the wife decided, you know what, I don't want to be in this anymore, and I got to bounce. And you know what, and, you know, how the kid's going to handle that, that's trauma to them, you know, because they're used to having mom and dad there. They're used to that dynamic at home. You know, it's one thing if the parents are not happy with one another, but the kids have love for both of you. And it hurts them if you go your separate ways. I mean, I hear stories of kids telling their parents, you know, mom and dad, you guys just need to be separate. I mean, it's very rare that a kid does that, though, because, you know, kids are selfish. I mean, my daughter does that all the time. She's like, you know, I wish mom and dad were together. And, you know, the only consolation I'll give her is, hey, if you want to do something, you know, like I'm trying to plan a Beetlejuice, a trip to she's all of a sudden fascinated with Beetlejuice and just that whole stuff. So I just told her, look, there's a play in Broadway. We can watch the Beetlejuice. And if you want to go, you know, if you do good in school and doing your thing, like you've been rocking it so far, I'll take you there. We'll go out there for a quick weekend, quick trip up to NYC, the Big Apple, and check out your show a couple times, and we'll head on back. And she tells me, you know, can mom come up? I'm like, absolutely. Mom can figure her way out there. You know, I'm not gonna pay for it. You know, if mom wants to take time off, you know, well, beforehand when I was married, it was more of I needed to go pay for her trip. I needed to get accommodations that catered to my wife. And it's a nuisance because I'm so low maintenance. You know, when it comes to traveling, I don't need a 5-star. I don't need 4-star. A piece of shit box, I'm good. You know, I'm not going to be in the hotel all day. You know, it's one thing if you're in Vegas where the resort, the key with getting a hotel is this. If you're going to be in a resort, then yes, you want to get a nice place. If you're going to be hanging out in the resort, absolutely. Vegas, if you're going to a place like Cabo, if you're going to a place like anywhere on the beach, you know, Jamaica or anything like that. You want to be in a good resort, right, where you get the amenities and so on and so forth, and you ever just go out to the beach and enjoy the scenery. But when you go to New York City, the last thing you're going to be doing is staying in a hotel. You're going to be running around doing your thing. So, you know, I'm not picky with things like that. So I'm able to save money and I'm able to just have these experiences, man, because again, for me, it's something that it allows me to have the peace of mind and tranquility. But when you talk to people all the time, it's just so sad because I just see it. It's just the lack of being allowed to be the individual that you want to be. Having a partner that supports you for allowing you to have your day off. Like, it's so hard for a guy to just sit there on one day a week, let's say on a weekend, just sit there and just be allowed to not do anything. Don't do anything around the house. Don't do anything. And I'm not saying that it should be all a prerequisite, right? But there isn't an understanding, especially for the type of personality that I have, that I need my time. I need time to just not be responsible to anybody. And for some people, they just can't stand it. They can't stand their partner just sitting in bed not doing anything. I mean, it never bothered me. I understood it completely, but it was never reciprocated. And when you see these challenges that people have all the time and they're trying to ride it out, and they're doing it for the kids. I mean, they're doing it for the kid or their kids, whoever, whatever scenario it is, because again, it comes down to the family dynamic. And I, you know, I'm just so thankful that I'm living the life that I'm living and enjoying it, because I don't envy anybody that's in that position. And I figured that it's a shame, because you only have one life. I always go back to that. You know, people, you can think about an afterlife, and there's people that are living this life to rejoice in the afterlife, and good for them. But I'm trying to make the best of it, because I just don't believe that life should be about being overzealous with your job and then running home and being with family and then not experiencing anything. And just working until you retire. And then when you retire, that's when you go ahead and live the life that you wanted to live as far as experiencing things once the kids are out of the house. Don't get me wrong. There's some people that their life is all about family, meaning they just want to be around their wife all day. They want to be around the kids all day. And then as soon as they have grandkids, they want to be all over. You know, they're all about that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But I think selling that picture to everyone, it's a recipe for disaster. And I just wish people would be more honest and upfront and accepting of those differences, of the point of views. I was telling somebody I was talking to that's the reason why it's very hard for me to jump in with somebody, because when I see this desire for a person to place responsibility on me, to make them happy, to cater to them, to be all about them without any reciprocation. And I don't know if they understand it or not, but it's just a level of entitlement that's out there. It's very fascinating. So, but this world is not for everyone. As far as the single world, it's not something that I think anybody can handle. I know I can't, and I'm totally happy with. But I think it's just very interesting to see people that are in marriages posting their shit on Instagram and Facebook and are out there showing how awesome and happy they are. But then, you know, they'll give me a call and they're talking and they're just kind of venting to me about their day and about their life and about how unhappy they are. And it's a very weird thing to see, you know. I was seeing this on Instagram, social media article. I talked about how people that post a lot of stuff about their relationship online, they're trying to get confirmation, and because they're very insecure about their relationship, and they're trying to just get confirmation from the masses, get positive gratification. Just kind of get constant support, because they need to be reminded that they're in a relationship and that's what it's all about. You know, I guess it reminds them. What the article was saying is basically when people post online a lot, it's about being reminded of what they're fighting for. And, you know, hey, I mean, if that's the sword you want to fall on, by all means, you know, it's your life. But I just feel that relationships shouldn't be that complicated. But unfortunately, the pressures that we feel early on in life is something. You know, I tell that to my daughter all the time. You know, don't race for that. Have fun, enjoy yourself, but don't put your eggs in that basket. I know the biological clock is there, but you don't want to do it for the wrong reasons because, man, if you pick the wrong guy, I mean, goodness gracious, you know, you at least, I would say this, that at least with my ex, even though we're not together and maybe I wasn't a good husband, I at least we can say that I'm attentive to my daughter's needs, and I'm there, and I'm always available as much as I can, right? And I think for me, that just means a lot, because not many people can see that at the end of the day. It seems like a lot of men just disconnect. A lot of men just become emotionally unavailable, and they don't want any part of that nonsense. It just becomes very adversarial, and I just knew that wasn't the path I was going to take, no matter what. And I'm just very thankful for how life is going. But I mean, you know, I just look from afar, man, and I just see these folks, man, that are just totally unhappy, totally just kind of grinding through life, man. And next thing you know, man, you're retiring, and you know, you're thinking you got another 40 years, and in reality, you may have 5 or 6 tops. You may have cancer. You may have something, you know, issues with your bodily functions, like I do. You know, like when you have liver issues or whatever it is. I mean, it's like life. It's just so fragile, right? And we just kind of take it for granted, and we're thinking, oh well, you know, we're gonna go work for another 20 years, and then, you know, we're going to be 65 at that point, or 66, and I'll get Social Security, and you know, live happily ever after, and this, that, and the third. And it's like, all right, man, you know, you can't, you have to try to balance living in the moment with preparing for the future. I think that's what I do anyway. And part of preparing for doing the now is being in a good place, being happy. And I hope for many people out there that are in relationships, they're able to figure it out. And you know, I'll leave with this. It was just very interesting to just see another posting on social media where it's like, marriage lady was like, marriage is like being tied to a bear and you kicking it, meaning that you're in a ball and chain with a bear and you're trying to kick it and you're wrestling with it all the time. And you know, and I said, remember folks, man, when 50% don't make it, so the 50% that are still in it, imagine how many of them are not happy. Give it time. This ain't even my body.